Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
$11.4 billion breakfast from Canada. That's what Burger King will pay for the Tim Hortons chain, with a little help from Warren Buffett, who will enable Burger King to declare itself a Canadian company and receive a whopper of a tax advantage. But this deal confirms that a period of turmoil may be upon the fast food industry in the U.S. Its customer base is changing, food expectations are changing, and there's only so much you can do with products that have to be mass-produced, delivered by truck, and assembled by low-paid workers at retail outlets in a matter of seconds. Vanessa Wong is reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek. She's ordered a few Whoppers and Quarter Pounders in her time. Actually, I don't completely know that, covering the industry. Welcome. You've tried this food firsthand, right?
Oh, I am a very frequent consumer of fast food.
There we go. Do you think this is an act of desperation on the part of Burger King to get the tax advantage and to move into a different area that it really hasn't been successful in on its own?
Right. So Burger King has been growing very rapidly overseas recently. And we see Tim Hortons as another venue through which Burger King can expand overseas through another fast food concept. Tim Hortons is primarily a North American chain. The large bulk of their stores are located in Canada, and they have some in the United States as well. But what we see here is actually a huge opportunity for Tim Hortons to leverage Burger King's expertise in overseas expansion and franchising and bring their concept to more markets.
Although that can be troublesome. I mean, McDonald's is having difficulty in Russia, having to close some of its franchises, possibly entangled in the whole political situation.
Indeed. I mean, and we see another big fast food company, Yum Brands, which owns KFC and Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. And they really were in a tough position due to some food safety issues, which came up last year. So obviously there are risks depending on which markets you go into.
And is the customer base in the United States, is that changing? Is that plateauing? I mean, we certainly had a big stock hit on McDonald's because millennials and young people aren't necessarily interested in Big Macs anymore. And the expectations about organic food and local food, all of this stuff is playing into a completely different kind of business model. Chipotle has benefited, but are McDonald's going to be able to be flexible enough?
Right. So traditional fast food is in a slump in the U.S. right now. We see coffee-type fast food chains such as Starbucks really booming both in America and overseas. So, for example, same-store sales, which is a measure of, you know, sales that have been at stores that have been open for some time at traditional fast food restaurants, up only about 1.2% last year, whereas at coffee chains, they were up 6.3%. So obviously the opportunity for growth here is with coffee. Starbucks, for example, opened about 1,700 new stores in their last fiscal year and is expecting to open another 1,500 new stores this year.
Is there a price issue in the sense that organics are going to eventually be able to match prices or get close to the traditional low prices of McDonald's and Burger King? And when that happens, it's really going to be a brand identity issue. It's not going to be a cost advantage issue anymore for McDonald's.
I think organics are still quite a ways away from being accessible to the everyday consumer. The average check at Chipotle is significantly higher than it would be at McDonald's, and that's why the industry categorizes Chipotle and their peers in a fast casual category, mm-hmm. and that's mainly based on how much the average person will spend for a meal there.
But as Starbucks demonstrated, people are willing to pay for some sort of added value idea. I mean, the ridiculous prices for coffee at Starbucks, people pay without any pain. Will they do the same thing for organics in the right configuration if somebody figures out how to do this at the retail level?
Absolutely. I mean, if the prices are low enough, I think that consumers' interest in health and in wellness is strong enough at the moment for them to switch brand loyalties. But that really does depend on whether or not the price of organic and other types of sustainable foods can be brought down. But we do see mass market retailers bringing organics to consumers.
I wonder how much Warren Buffett and Burger King have annoyed Barack Obama, who's come out against these inversions, these tax inversions offshore. But thinking out of the box, I mean, is it possible that China would just buy McDonald's and suddenly make a sort of noodle invasion in North America? Because there's all kinds of fast food that don't involve hamburgers around the world.
Definitely. So there are some noodle concepts in the U.S. right now. There's Noodles and Company. They are also a fast casual category brand. And there's also a noodle shop that Chipotle is experimenting with. So we'll see whether or not Americans take to the noodle concept. One of the disadvantages for the American consumer of that type of fast food is that you can't really eat it in your car. So for fast food where drive-thru is such a significant part of your sales, you know, having something that you can just eat in a wrapper is very much an advantage.
There's possibly a food chemist who's working on that right now, I suspect.
Yeah, right. Just plug it into your cigarette lighter.
Yeah, exactly right. Noodles that you can put in a wrap. Vanessa Wong, Associate Editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, talking about scary times for investors in fast food, but possibly exciting times for consumers looking at a broader range of products as expansion occurs here and abroad. Vanessa, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'll have some cream salad on the side. Don't forget the French fried pizza pie, garlic and anchovy.
So perhaps, as Vanessa suggests, the world is getting beyond the burger, and you're right with her. I'll have
a good old-fashioned Jamaican beef patty, spicy with coca bread. For me, please.
The only thing I ever get at a fast food place is a hand-dipped chocolate vanilla cone from Dairy Queen. It makes the world just as right as it can be.
I can make you ice cream. We could be a sweet team melting in your ice cream spot.
Thinking outside the bun in a new way here.
The ice burger from Mugia's. They use an iceberg head. They tear it in half. Then they place the burger in the obvious middle fixings, you know, the middle stuff. And then they take the head of lettuce, take another 6 to 10 layers of it, and that's the top bun. So you have no bread. It's called the ice burger, obviously.
Small little Mexican shop opened up at the edge of our town. That's fried tacos with homemade tortillas that are like nothing I've ever had before.
This is Bill in Seattle. It's avocados, man. Avocados.
From Southfield, Michigan, a classic, fish and chips and a pint. Speaking of British cuisine, coming up, remembering a particularly rude meal at the White House 200 years ago that gives new meaning to the term dine and dash.
In they went, dinner on the table, waiting for James Madison and his army to get back and have it later on in the day. And, of course, the British ate the dinner, then they burned the house down.
Author Peter Snow will hear how the British feasted in and on Washington. 200 years on, who's eating humble pie? This is The Takeaway.
I'm a maximum consumption.